The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I have so much love for him, so, you know, my heart goes out to him. I have no idea what's happened. I got to see him at halftime for a second, but, you know, I know, you know, he'll find a way to keep working to get back, but that's tough. It hurts us as a team.
It sucks, bro. Like, happy about the win, but, like, I'd rather have that guy on our team, you know, so.
I was just saying, basically, you know, the league is better when Aaron Rodgers is on the field, man. You know, it's just bad that he went down so early. A lot of people didn't really get to see what we've been working on, you know, this whole time. So it's just how the ball rolls sometimes.
Some of the various folks reacting to what happened last night early in the game. If you didn't watch the game, if you got it on DVR, sorry, spoiler alert. The Aaron Rodgers experiment lasted all of four plays for the New York Jets so far. Could be back later this year. I don't know. Nothing's official yet, but the wind is blowing. The wind is blowing in a very strong way. See, this was funny last night. First of all, you may be wondering, what the hell is that idiot doing back? Well, I've moved up here. Matt Casey.
We did it.
Matt Casey, I have fulfilled my end of the deal. Why aren't we in Studio One? That's what I want to understand. We're back here in Studio Around the Corner. That's the place where we put the rejects and the losers. Right?
Okay.
I'm kidding. Except not about him. No, I had a little flight issue yesterday. I'm not going to bore anyone with the details, but 3 hours on a hot plane was not fun, and it was hot. There was that story not that long ago about people stuck on a hot plane in Las Vegas.
Right.
It wasn't quite baking like a potato in tinfoil, but it was hot and it was uncomfortable.
And I
didn't say a word about it on social media. I can't stand it when people complain about travel on social media. Nobody gives a shit on social media about your travel issues. But as I sit here, I can say, after living through it, and I'm a big Delta person, and I'm sorry, Ed Bastian, you got your whole Tom Brady thing now, and tell Tom Brady he better be talking to some people about making sure that nobody sits on a hot plane for 3 F-K-I-N-G hours, because that is not a way to endear yourself to your customers, because I'm flying home on American today, and if my experience goes well, it's bye-bye Delta, hello American. PFT Live, by the way, brought to you by Delta.
Hey, thank you. That's a great way to start the show.
Hey, man, hey, you know what? You want to get a good endorsement? Give me good service.
Yeah, no, I know.
You stick me on a hot plane for 3 hours with very limited updates.
Yeah.
Oh, we're sorry. We can't chart a path out. And then they finally go back to the gate, and it's confusing. Like, if I walk off this plane, can I get back on?
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't get a straight answer.
Am I
playing Russian roulette with my flight here? I got to get off this plane. It's hot, and I'm miserable. I got to get off this plane, but I want to go home. So please let me know if I walk out this door, I can or can't get back on the plane. Couldn't get an answer to that question. And then they canceled the flight. That was the answer.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't understand how we don't have the technology yet of, like, a plane that can't put out the air conditioning on while it's sitting at the gate, or that to me makes no sense. Nor can we find a new system of, wait, if we don't know if we're going to take off, how about we don't throw them in the plane and we have somewhere we can keep them, whatever. It's just, I feel for you there.
I've been very loyal to Delta. But I've got miles up the yin-yang.
I didn't think we were going to go there with, the biggest story we've had.
I know, but I just got to explain why I'm here. I got to explain why I'm here, sitting next to to giant head, that's why. Now we can get to it. If it was a normal day, I'd go on and on about it for 20 minutes because now I can empathize, sympathize. I think it's sympathize when you live through it.
Right.
If you haven't lived through it, you're empathizing. I can now sympathize with anyone who gets stuck on a hot plane. It blows. Well,
thank
no,
you.
It doesn't
it
blow.
Does.
It doesn't blow. That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
there
right.
was no air. It was bad.
It's miserable.
It was bad. Okay.
Yes.
Not as miserable, though, this morning as Jets fans. Trying to process this strange, hey, we won the game, but we don't have
a
quarterback. And we're going to focus on the obvious story. It's just one game for the Jets. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 16, especially if they don't have Aaron Rodgers. But fourth play from scrimmage, simple-looking play, but it goes back to remember when he strained his calf and we had the conversation, and I'm always reluctant to potentially jinx someone, but this idea, and we have the tapes, we have the proof of it. He strained his calf with some pre-practice warm-up they were doing, some funky medicine ball dragging.
He's had calf
sled.
Problems
right.
for the last 10
right.
years. So
but
let's,
what
let's
we said
sure
is
we're clear there.
But what we said is yeah. this guy's pushing 40.
Right.
He still has the burst, he has the acceleration. And when you apply those forces yeah. to an aging body, you said this is an old man injury. The calf pull is an old man injury.
Right.
And it's all part of the same thing. The calf, the Achilles, it's all tied together.
Definitely.
And if something goes, it goes. And last night, on a seemingly innocuous routine play, it went.
Yeah.
And that was that. Like, I wouldn't have looked at this as like, well, uh-oh, he suffered a serious injury. There was nothing that happened as you watch it in real time that makes you say there's a problem. So he stands up, he's in denial, and you read the body language. And this was where it got very difficult for me because I hear in my ear Sam Flood, our ultimate boss,
right.
saying, never speculate on injuries.
Yeah.
Never speculate on injuries. And Chris is texting, he's got a torn Achilles. He's got a torn Achilles.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, when you play football and you know, you've been around, you see guys get injured like this, you see guys get tackled, and you look what's a normal, oh, wait, he went down the right way. When I saw it live, I saw, ooh, man, wait, I feel like I saw just a little bit of a hard pressure on that left foot at the last second. And then when they were kind of, if we could play it again, kind of playing through the clip, the way he laid there at first, it just even though you got a split second of it here. So he gets tackled here. You know, I saw the foot get jammed in the ground. And then the way he kind of laid, and I was watching the leg, and I go, he didn't move his leg as they were cutting away. It was kind of just sitting there dead. And I told my son, even before they flash back to this, I go, ooh, I hope he's okay. Rodgers is going to be limping. And he's like, what do you mean? And then, of course, he sat down on the football field. But you saw there that left right there, that step there, that left foot got too much weight on it, and the heel went all the way to the ground where it wasn't supposed to go all the way to the ground. And, of course, hey, it's on field turf. I don't love that. But I like more than just diagnosing the injury and texting you, you know, oh, I think it's his Achilles right away. I was like in shell shock. I mean, I was in shell shock. I was sitting there with my wife and my kid, and just like, you want to talk about Debbie Downer?
Thanks for the invite, by the
right?
way.
Well,
your partner's stuck in town overnight, and I keep thinking, you know, because Matt Casey invited me over.
Yes,
he did.
Right.
And I said, I'm not in the frame of mind tonight. I got to rest. I got to do some work. And I started thinking, I wonder if Chris is going to
invite me. I thought about it.
I would have politely declined, but I was wondering, is my partner going to invite me over? All these years, I've never been to your house.
You're going to be there
sure.
soon. I thought
Maybe
about
tonight.
It. I thought about it. We had a lot of things going on yesterday. And by the time I didn't settle in into the couch between picking up the kids for activities and doing all that, and then me getting ready for my college football game this weekend. So I'm sorry.
I knew you were
thinking that.
I'll give you a break.
And
you
I was like, my day was
game.
A little crazy yesterday.
But I was not in the frame of mind to interact with anyone last night. There was a period of about 90 minutes.
Where you were pissed and you needed
like,
to let steam blow
there's
up.
No reason for anyone
you slept
to
good last
with
night because you have a line in the pillow still
yeah I
sleeping.
do friggin I know isn't that weird
you slept hard on that left face right
well
there.
what happened was I got to the hotel and it was in that gulf around and see you brought me there but like do I eat dinner or do I take a nap it's like how do I time all this out I was hungry and I felt like I could keep going well what happened after I ate dinner I'm tired now so I slept right up until 5 minutes before
the kickoff.
And it made me feel better. And then, because I was up late last night. Last night was one
of
those nights where after the
right.
Monday night game,
right.
you keep going.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I took that nap because I ended up sleeping 5 hours on the back end.
But either way, Like, and I'm sorry, you'll get invited. It was the most Debbie Downer moment. I mean, I can remember. I really sat there and moaned really the whole first half of the football game. Sitting there on the couch, I just was like, I can't believe this. Not only on a, yes, everybody knows I love Aaron Rodgers and he, you know, my favorite quarterback for a long, long time. Just as a football fan, I mean, all the buildup, we were so excited. He looked so good in the new Jet uniform and looked ready to go. I mean, you know, just everything about it, the excitement in the crowd, the excitement in the season around the AFC East and the AFC with all the quarterbacks just tumbling down before you can even settle in. Right, the way they started the game, running out with the 9/11 tribute and him and the American flag. I mean, I'm texting people in the stadium. They're going, it's unbelievable in here. It's never been like this before. And then it just all dies right there.
He gave you the little.
And yeah, he gave me a little smoking the good stuff there. Yeah. But that just that hurt my heart, not only as a human for Aaron Rodgers, but just as a football fan. It just takes away a huge story that I think, you know, we were all looking forward to this year.
I didn't see that part live. I literally,
you,
like,
you were sleeping.
I saw every play of the game.
Right.
But we didn't even get to see him.
Get in a groove, anything. I know.
Anything. Four snaps in, and that was that.
Under pressure, what? All three or four snaps.
That's the other thing, too. Yeah. Even if he hadn't suffered an injury on that play, that offensive line was a little leaky to get started.
Unbelievable in the run game, but in the pass game, they couldn't protect. It was kind of funny, actually.
The first snap where Mekhi Becton kind of dove at Greg Russo's legs, and Russo, I felt like Russo was going to be all over him all night long.
Yeah.
And then we had said last week that, you know, Bills pass rush, but they don't have Von Miller. What's Leonard Floyd going to do? Well, Leonard Floyd ultimately ends up
ending the season. Yeah, yeah.
Potentially, apparently, possibly, whatever, of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, three-step drops. They have these little three-step drops, and so they're thinking, hey, let me cut these guys, right? Let me get their hands down so they can't get in the passing lane because Rodgers is going to come over here. And they're expecting the ball to be 1, 2, 3. Boom, it's gone, right? And then Buffalo obviously did some things where they dropped out or moved into the zones of which he was trying to throw, and now it's, oh, no, wait. He cut block. I was supposed to have the ball out of my hand, and now I'm stuck in a tough spot, and it made him hold the ball. And, yeah, he avoided danger once miraculously and threw the ball out of bounds. But there you go. Yeah, just stuck in a tough spot at that age, 40 years old, Achilles injury. Like, we never see Aaron Rodgers again. This is the kind of injury that could end his career. He might just go, this is too much to come back from, and I don't know if I can do this. And
that's where I was going to take it next. Yeah. Like, what does this mean by way of rehab? I remember there was a time, been 5, 6 years ago, Tony Dungy tore his Achilles playing basketball or something like that, and we had the event that we do every May, the Dog and Pony Show for advertisers, and he had that little cart.
Yeah.
Where you put your knee on the cart.
Put one leg up on there.
And it's the little cycle. It's the one-legged cycle when you're walking around without. I mean, there's a period of time where you got to do that either way.
Yeah.
That's just part of the rehab. Then once it's healthy, you got yourself ready to play again. And was he going to play next year anyway? He, based upon his contract structure, and I don't think he cares about the money. He clearly doesn't need it. But the way they split that money up, because he was doing them a favor, a lot of that money got pushed to next year. So
he's gonna try to hang around to get the money, right?
And they were counting on him for another year.
Yeah,
but do you want to put yourself through all of that again?
Oof.
when you know there's a chance that what happened last year is going to happen again, or it's going to be something else? You know, there's an increased likelihood you're going to tear the other Achilles once you tear the first one.
No question.
And he's had the calf injuries. This is retreat back to the dark room material for Aaron Rodgers to figure out what he wants to do next year. And that's for the offseason. For now, it's just get yourself healthy. Do you think he throws himself into this role of basically assistant coach, mentor to Zach Wilson, and he's around all the time? He left at halftime.
Yeah, right.
And he had to process his situation.
He's got to grieve here, of course.
But will he go to Dallas? Will he even be able to go to Dallas on Sunday? They got to operate on this thing. There's issues about flying.
Right.
And You know, maybe he won't even be there in Dallas, but once he's good enough to be at the games, do you think he'll be around and fully engaged? Sometimes we see guys get injured and they're gone.
Yeah.
And some guys are there constantly all the time. What do you think he'll do?
You know, it's a good question. No Dallas this weekend. I feel confident in saying that. But there's a part of me that I do feel like he's going to be around. You know, I feel like he invested himself emotionally and psychologically into the football team and really to the New York area for the most part. You know, he's been great. Everybody's been loving watching Aaron Rodgers around town and doing all that. And you saw Zach Wilson had a pretty good preseason. That, you know, the Aaron Rodgers effect, if you talk to anybody connected with the Jets, they tell you that was real on Zach Wilson. And we saw a little of that last night. I know he threw an interception, but, man, that wasn't an easy situation for him to come in there. And he did okay to get it done. But I do. I think in my heart of hearts, I think he is going to be around. I think, you know, they're going to beg him to be around because of his energy. And then they're going to want him there, I think, for the Zach Wilson aspect that you brought up. Just to stay there, hey, go through thought process, what I'm thinking when I play these defenses. You know, you got to be thinking this and check to that and stay on top of his mechanics. And, you know, he purchased this house in New Jersey not far from the facility. New York's got some great doctors. I would think that he does stay around and is helping out a little bit with as much as he, you know, has been investing himself to everybody personally on that football team over the last 6-7 weeks anyways.
I agree with you. The question is, how long does it take before him to be able to do it? And he's got to work through the mental side of this.
I can't even imagine.
When will he be ready? Does he even want to be around?
Right.
Is he just thinking, screw the football gods?
I'm cursed, whatever. Right.
This was my chance. This was my opportunity.
Yeah.
I think that it'll be helpful to him eventually to be around, but he's got to make that decision as he works through this, and it's not going to be easy, and it's going to take some time. Because for as devastated as you were, it's going to be 1,000 times worse for the guy who's in the middle of it.
Oh, him in the middle? I can't imagine, you know? And then, you know, the devastation of the football team in general there. I mean, that was a big win last night. They did it, but you saw there, like, the guys in the locker room basically telling, we would have taken a loss if we could just still have Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's how much they believe in the guy. And I want to ask you, because I know you're a little older than me. You got a great history feel, and I know you watch so many games growing up. Do you ever remember a stadium going from that electric to – showing Robert Saleh on the sideline looking like he just saw a ghost or somebody get killed in front of him, and a stadium and a sideline and everything that just was, like, deflated instantly? I don't remember an instance that I can remember where it went like that.
I mean, it's fairly recent, but it was – there were similarities to the vibe after DeMar Hamlin.
Okay,
had his cardiac arrest on the field. But the game didn't continue.
Yeah.
This was the standard – injury, game keeps going.
Yeah.
Injury,
right.
Whatever it is.
Right.
Player needs attention. Player is removed from the field.
Yeah.
Game keeps going. And it was just a weird feeling of, we've had all this buildup, the Hard Knocks team, all the talk about Aaron Rodgers, 3-4 years in the making for him to leave Green Bay. And here we go, and here it is. And we don't even turn the lights on the Christmas tree, and the tree falls over.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
We didn't even get a chance to see what it was going to look like. I mean, really, that's the best metaphor I can think of. We spent all this time buying the tree. We spent all this time putting the stuff on the tree. We've been working on it forever. And now it's time to flick the switch. And before you can even flick the switch, it's just done.
Yeah.
It's done. It's gone.
Yeah. It leaves a real stale or, you know, just bad taste in your mouth. It does. It stinks. I was excited as I can ever remember here about a season because of the quarterbacks, because of some of the storylines, and of course Aaron Rodgers and what he could do with this Jets team. And as we saw last night,
bless you is the proper.
Bless you.
Yeah, thank you.
But
I tried to fight through it, but it wouldn't.
You gotta let it go sometimes. But yeah, we see last night the Jets team they got talent. They got some things there that even last night they make you believe that, ooh, what could they have been? What could they have done with Aaron Rodgers? You see the running back special.
They would have won by 30 last night, I think.
The defense is special,
Right.
I didn't want to tweet this, and I didn't want to articulate it last night, but they would have won that game by 3 scores at least if they'd had Aaron Rodgers last night, because the defense throttled the Bills' offense all game long. We'll talk about that part of it later coming up. But I feel like they would have blown out and set the tone and put everyone on notice that the Jets are a force to be reckoned with.
Well, I would have thought their offense certainly would have been, you know, better than what it was. I mean, we know that. I mean, yeah, everything was formulated. Everything they did through training camp was through Aaron Rodgers, knowing Nathaniel Hackett. Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett, this is a team game plan. It's them two coming up with, hey, I like this, let's do that. Ooh, this is a good idea. So they did that together. And then it's just like, wait, whoa, well, everything we talked about for the last 2 weeks, getting this game plan together, oh, wait, hold on, I got to redirect now with Zach Wilson. I got to protect him a little bit. This is a tough situation. What are the plays that he's real comfortable with? I know he can't quite check to all the things Rodgers is going to check to. So it's a major curveball there for everybody. And, you know, yes, I would have think they would have controlled the game more. The one thing I want to throw out there just because of that statement is go, well, I don't know, would Josh Allen played any differently? That's what was crazy about last night. And I know we'll break down the game, but Josh Allen, you got Zach Wilson in the game, and why are you taking so many chances? What are you doing? It's play the game, and you know their defense is good. Just, you know, slowly bleed them out. Don't give them life by keep giving them the ball and giving turnovers. That, to me, was the shock of the night, too. Not only Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, but that Josh Allen didn't see the big scope of the game and just kept firing away like it was a 45-42 football game. And that's disappointing that he kind of got that reckless. It really was.
I don't get ahead of ourselves, but my thought was he thought they would make quick work of the Jets post Aaron Rodgers, and he was forcing.
And he got frustrated. He said, "Let me see if I can start making some plays.
We should be winning by 21.
Right, right.
This shouldn't be a close game."
Yeah.
And it felt at one point like it was going to break.
It got close. Yeah, yeah. Right.
But that's what happens. If you don't take advantage of your opportunity to deliver the knockout blow, you let the team hang around, and the team will take it from you. And we got to give Zach Wilson credit because he's the guy who wasn't expected to play this year.
We're talking about
1 or 2 years of him on the bench learning from Aaron Rodgers. 4 snaps in, here he is, thrown into it.
Oh.
Good luck, kid.
Yeah.
Good luck. Everybody's disappointed.
Right.
Everybody's upset.
Right.
Everybody's lamenting the fact that we don't have Aaron Rodgers.
We can't protect the quarterback, and here you go.
And now you go do your thing,
yeah, right.
And you're going to be held to the same standard that we held Aaron Rodgers to. I mean, I don't want to be critical of our friends at ESPN, but it was kind of like, let's give this kid some credit.
No, that was
He didn't crater. He didn't collapse. And then when it was time to make a play,
he made a few.
He did.
No doubt about it. I give him credit, too. You know, I do. Yeah. And you could see, like, first off, you know, being in that experience, it's like, what? I'm in? You know what I mean? I've had it before where you come off the bench. I had to do it 1 year playing the Miami Dolphins when Nick Saban was there. And that first few seconds is like your heart's in your throat. Your stomach's in your throat because you're over there kind of relaxed and you're trying to help out with some ideas. And all of a sudden it's like, wait, I'm in the fray now? I'm going to be out there playing? Hold on. Let me shift my whole mindset here. I've been chewing gum and telling my quarterback that's starting what to look for. Hey, they're blitzing there and they're playing a little coverage here. This is fun, though. I'm chewing gum and
had an edible before the game.
Right. Yeah, right. But that's where – so you could see how nervous he was to start. I literally was sitting there going to my wife going, oh, my gosh, he's so nervous because he wasn't expecting he was going to play the whole year, let alone right now. And, settled in. And settled in for the Jets. This is where, you know, culture, mindset, whatever, I will give them credit for that too. You know, they just said, okay, they kind of weathered the storm. Run game got going a little bit. Defense started to go, okay, hey, we're okay here. Let's settle down. And they refocused and recalibrated and played some good football, you know, once we got kind of late in the second quarter from there on out.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
The best NFL cultures, or whatever the appropriate word would be to describe
right.
this, they have the attitude of when there's an injury,
yep.
there's no hesitation, there's no pity party,
right.
there's no, oh, woe is us, there's no, we'll get him next year. The expectation is that the standard will be met by whoever takes over. The Patriots were the ones who started that, and I think it goes back to Parcells.
Yeah.
So much of what we see in football today comes from Bill Parcells, but just the idea, we're not going to say it's over.
Right.
We're not going to say we're done. We're not going to say, well, the backup is a backup for a reason.
That's right.
When it's time to kind of snap out of it and go get in the game, you're expected to go perform. You're expected to run the plays. You're expected to do what you're told, and you're expected to perform at a level reflecting the fact that you are a member of a 53-man roster of an NFL team. And that, I don't know that the Jets were even able to consciously process that last night because they were as shell-shocked as anyone.
They were the most shell-shocked.
Right.
I mean, they really were.
Looking at Robert Saleh, you're right. He's just kind of like, what do I do?
It was literally like he just saw a murderer on Broadway in New York City. It was like, did that just happen? It was like,
somebody shot someone on Fifth Avenue, is that what you're saying?
Yes, I saw that.
But there he is. Look, like, what
Look
the
at
hell?
He's literally like, I don't even know what defense we're calling. I don't know. I just saw my season go down in flames. And to that.
You know, he's thinking, that damn Hard Knocks. That damn Hard Knocks.
We're cursed.
That damn Hard Knocks.
But put yourself in their mindset, too, of, you know, they really believe they have Super Bowl aspirations. Why you were sleeping in the pregame, Aaron Rodgers has an interview with John McEnroe, and he goes, no, we expect to go to the Super Bowl. We're embracing it. We're going to talk it into existence. They were kind of embracing, yeah, this is high talk, but we're saying that's what we want to do. And so you knew the expectations of the football team, and for that to happen too, just the mindset of the players going, wait, we're a Super Bowl team, and then you realistically, it's okay to think this, to go, well, now we can't go to the Super Bowl in one quarter, right? Now we'll see. Maybe Zach Wilson can make some unbelievable transformation, but of course I don't think any of us are putting him in the Super Bowl conversation anymore. We're just going, hey, hope they can salvage the season and be competitive here and maybe get into the playoffs somehow.
It's going to be hard for them to get
into
the playoffs anyway.
No
doubt. Schedule.
Exactly.
I've been saying it since May.
Right.
The fact that they play those teams in the AFC East twice each, they play every team from the AFC West, including the Chiefs and the Chargers. They play every team from the NFC East, starting with the Cowboys this weekend.
I know.
5 days from now, they play the Cowboys in Dallas. And we saw what the Cowboys did in that same building the night before to the Giants. So these are things we'll all unpack.
They got to rely on this defense, unfolds. Like you talked about. This D is special.
You know
we saw that.
First thing I thought of
as
I saw at Cowboys. Hit him in the mouth.
Yeah.
Stand up to him and avoid that onslaught. And if they can match them with some physicality early, who knows? Because you know what the Cowboys are going to be thinking? They're going to kick the crap out of
these
guys.
Well, they're going to catch some people, who are sleeping on them early in the year.
So the vibes, it's amazing.
Right.
How in one moment the Jets go from the team that everybody is circling and they become a measuring stick game to now you have to process, hey, we still have to take this team seriously. Hey, they still found a way to beat the Bills. Hey, Zach Wilson can still play. Look at what he did in the preseason. Look at that 35-yard run he had. You know, once he settles in, under the tutelage of Aaron Rodgers, that's why I think it is important if Rodgers can find a way. He's got to want to do it. He's got to be able to do it. But to be around and to work this kid to the point where – and that is the ultimate selfless act as a teammate.
I think he'll do it.
To try to help Zach Wilson – do what Aaron Rodgers was hoping to do for himself.
Yep.
And and helped Zach Wilson be so good that people started saying, hey, we didn't need Aaron Rodgers after all.
Yeah.
All we just needed was a little something to kickstart this kid, and having Aaron Rodgers around for a few months is the thing that did it.
Yeah. I think I'd be more surprised if that didn't happen. One, because there's two things. Rodgers, yeah, he's up here. He can invest in himself. We said that. I think he's going to want to do right by Nathaniel Hackett. He's gonna be there because he was going to want his friend Nathaniel Hackett to also succeed. So to do that, he knows, hey, me being in the building and helping out Zach Wilson, that's where I expect him. And then I think he has a true, genuine liking of Zach Wilson from everything I've heard. I mean, you saw it, Hard Knocks. Anywhere he goes, Zach Wilson's in his pocket right next to him. He's everywhere with him. And he recognizes Zach Wilson's talent. So, I do expect him there. But, man, just what a gut punch, not only to the NFL. I just can't imagine what the Jets are thinking, feeling in that locker room. Great win. But, yeah, to see Super Bowl aspirations kind of go down the toilet here and all the excitement go down the toilet is just, it was heartbreaking last night. It really was.
I have officially ceased my backroom lobbying to get Football Night in America one night only.
Are we cursed?
Or Chiefs Jets.
Are we
cursed?
We're
never going to see Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers.
Right?
Ever.
I was going to say
we've
that when
never
we threw the
seen
schedule
it.
Up a minute ago.
The first time they were supposed to play each other, Patrick Mahomes had
hurt
a knee injury.
Right.
The second time around, it was a little, yeah, I've been immunized situation.
Right.
And now, this time, no Aaron Rodgers. And it's going to be Patrick Mahomes versus Zach Wilson, assuming Zach Wilson is. You know, weathers the storm. There was a point last night where, and they had the conversation about the whole emergency third quarterback rule. The Jets didn't take advantage of it last night. Tim Boyle's not on the active roster. If Zach Wilson had gotten banged up, they would have had to put Randall Cobb under center, as they were saying last night.
Yeah.
So
they're going to have to do something.
That's let me go out of order here a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
What are they? Okay, Zach Wilson is the guy. Robert Saleh said that last night. Yep. Zach Wilson's the guy.
Yeah.
What do you do now? Do you put Tim Boyle next man up at number two, or do you pick up the phone and start calling Nick Foles, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Blake Bortles, who has history with Hackett?
Yeah.
I say it jokingly.
I know. That's what you first thing you got to think of is who has history with Hackett, right?
Trade for Russell Wilson.
Right. You're funny. I think it's Tim Boyle, next guy up. He becomes the backup. And then maybe that's where you think about, hey, do we call Joe Flacco to be one other veteran? He's played there, Nick Foles, whoever. Sure, Matt Ryan, whatever. But just one other, let's say, proven commodity. We know he can run the offense. He's played football before. Just we got to have him on the roster too. I would think that would be the route they go. And who's two or who's three as the year goes on, Tim Boyle or whoever, who knows. But, yeah, I think they got to add another guy to the room. But I think here at first it'll be Tim Boyle will be the backup, and that's where they'll have to go, you know, from there. Trevor Siemian is another guy that's out there. He's been in the West Coast offense. I think that would make sense too. I could see that, you know, being a good fit. Somebody like that, that just, of course, you know, bring some experience to the room in case SH... happens.
Again.
Right.
Unless it happens
exactly.
Again. Exactly. And that's the thing. This isn't, we have to find somebody else to come in and start like the Vikings went through 7 years ago when Teddy Bridgewater has the catastrophic knee injury right before the start of the season. They go out and they get Sam Bradford for a 1-4. You know, in hindsight, hey, keep the 1-4 and let Sean Hill be your guy. That's the balance. Do you go with the number two? And the Jets have already made that decision. So that takes some of the guys out of the equation necessarily. Like, I don't think Matt Ryan's going to come back.
I don't think he's
going to come back up.
They're third at first. Right. Exactly. Right. I don't think so either. Yeah, agreed. It takes somebody like, you know, Joe Flacco, we know, doesn't – He's content.
He's content.
His ego gets pushed aside. He doesn't care. I feel like Nick Foles would go to be a part of the group, too. I don't think he'd be like, oh, I got to be the backup or I'm not sitting behind him. But I hear you with Matt Ryan. And then, then that's where you get into the Trevor Siemian. Colt McCoy is another name that at least comes up to my mind. You know, those are the guys that I can imagine them floating
Brett Rippon is on the Rams practice squad. He was in Denver last year with Hackett. So that's a guy.
Yep.
But I think it's going to be more like that. It's not going to be some name that we say, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
Now, if Zach Wilson, and I hate to say this, but we just have to go down this tributary.
Yeah.
If Zach Wilson would get injured this weekend and you still have 15 games left, that's when you get into the, hey, do we go get Matt Ryan? Right. Hey, do we try to bring Philip Rivers out of retirement? Hey, do we give Tom Brady a call? And there's already the Photoshopped Tom Brady jerseys. One day after he was wearing his Patriots jersey at the ceremony in New England, people are talking about Tom Brady playing for the Jets. And his ownership deal with the Raiders still hasn't been finalized. He's a free agent. He can sign with anyone.
Sure.
There's no hoops that need to be jumped through for him to be able to play for the Jets. He just goes and plays for the Jets.
He saw that pass. That ain't happening. He saw that pass protection last night. And he said, I'm not coming back to that team out of all that. You know, they got the thing I will say with that, they need to improve that department. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, Zach Wilson, his movement is probably going to help them a little bit. But it was a little shocking that protection was such an issue. And then run game, they were just plowing people out of the way and opening up some holes that were incredible. And, of course, the O-line, even though, yeah, they could be responsible for Rodgers getting hurt and the pass game not being at its best, they also were a huge part of why they won the football game, because the run game at least helped buy them some time for Zach Wilson to settle in a little bit and change the field position a few times, got them the field goal. I mean, that was really the big moment of the game, right, when they were down – what was it? I think it was the 10th. It was 3-0, the big run. But then another big run when they were down 13-3 that kind of got them started. And I think that was the drive. Zach Wilson had a big completion, too, that made it 13-6 and brought it within a score to where you went, okay. And I think that gave the team belief, and the defense kind of rebounded, and they found their energy, and they went from there. But I'm still in shock sitting here, Mike. I really am. I just can't believe it. It's really amazing that's what happened last night. And I feel bad for the Jets fans who, you know, I always talk about my Jets fans at the gym or whatever, and they're all, I go there yesterday for a quick workout in the afternoon, and it's just, oh, can't wait for tonight. And what do you think with Rodgers and the Jets tonight? I mean, it's just one person after another. The whole area has been like that. Even Giants fans are asking about, what do you think's going to happen with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers? So it's just deflating if you're a football fan. It really is. Like Dalvin Cook said, the league's better when Aaron Rodgers is playing.
One of the realities of the infrastructure of our website, profootballtalk.com, is I can track the specific real-time traffic to individual posts. And the Rodgers original story was
It exploded.
I mean, it was. I've never seen anything like it. How many people were, you know, what's the update, what's going on, gathering the information. It was unbelievable.
Did you write in there, Dr. Chris Sims said it's an Achilles injury?
No, I resisted. And all the Twitter doctors who were breaking it down and sending photos and saying, oh, it's ankle's not supposed to point in that direction. It's like, well, I don't see anything. Like, the still frame doesn't show you anything. I know people are saying if you look very closely, you can see the calf reverberate or something like that. That's what Shefty was saying last night. I think that you see what you want to see.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, and I don't even know why they're doing the MRI. If the Achilles is torn,
they know. They just got to do it for.
Hey, folks, reach down and touch that thing at the back of your heel.
Maybe it's
that
not a full
tear. That thing right there
tear,
at the back
maybe.
Of your heel, yeah. That's your Achilles. And when it's torn, it ain't there.
No, that's why, you know, his body language, when he stood up and they showed his face and when he sat there, that was the other thing where I went, oh, he knows this is bad. Like, that was the look of a football player that wasn't like, oh, it hurts, but I'll be okay. It was like, oh, crap, the season's over. Look at this. That's where, look, that right there, when he rolled over on his back and did that, he's sitting there going, I can't believe it. I tore my ACL. And then, Mike, there is another clip here, and maybe we'll see it. It might have been a from it. Look, he grimaces when that leg goes down. Like, you saw it in slow motion. There was even another clip I saw where you saw
the left foot. The left foot gets stuck and it flexes down.
Right,
and that's the moment where it goes. And that gets to the David Bakhtiari tweet from last night.
Well, don't get me going.
Rogers,
you know me.
Teammate.
I mean, come on.
You know, the Bakhtiari claims that it is turf related. Can we put an end to this bleep already? And this goes back to the
already bigger, voted as one of the worst fields in the game,
and they just put down a new surface
there
with extra toxic black rubber pellets
that we saw on everybody's
Sunday
faces
night. like it was an outbreak of some disease, little black specks all over everyone's
face at one point.
I mean, and it's funny because I tweeted something about the toxic pellets, and yeah, I have some, and who knows? That's the problem with social media. Anybody out there can pick up a megaphone and respond to you. But somebody's trying to tell me it wasn't toxic. It's rubber. It's stuff that was tires that they ground up into tiny little pellets
it's
and use as cushion. It's clearly toxic.
Eat some and tell me how that works out for you.
Sprinkle
okay?
some on your post toast.
I mean, people
this morning.
Just want to fight back against everything. Yeah. The sky is not blue. No, it is.
So. The issue with the turf, and I can't understand this for the life of me, because I've said this before, even if the owners don't think of the players as human beings,
yep.
And I would submit to you, and I'm sorry, 345 Park Avenue, but they know, plenty of the owners do not think of their players as human beings. They're interchangeable parts in a giant football machine. They are chattel. They are property. They are guys who come and go.
Yeah,
all
their
the time.
Inventory on
they're
the shelf.
They're here, they're
right,
gone.
Right.
They're here, they're gone. And we run the team, and the team is what stays. That's what endures, and it's always going to be somebody else, and there's no greater turnover than there is on the roster. Even with that, you have made multi-million dollar investments in these players, and you put them out there in a position where that investment can go straight to shit, and no big deal.
I know.
You think Woody Johnson wouldn't say? I mean, that's where it astounds me. Everything they did to get Aaron Rodgers.
Does the concerts and all those things make up for
that? Is it really
that?
Worth it?
Is
it really worth it?
Right.
And I guess it is. I guess it is. When you sell out for Taylor Swift and you sell out for Bruce Springsteen and you got this show and that show, maybe you make enough money that you're willing to say, well, maybe Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have torn his Achilles tendon if we just had grass. But you know what? That's too vague. That's too amorphous. That's not something we're going to turn into an analytical formula, because at the end of the day, we got this grass field. And if we have that grass field and we have to protect that grass field, then we can't do all this other stuff we want to do where we make a lot of money. And the easy answer is have the system like they have in Arizona, where the grass field, and I think they have it in Las Vegas too.
They do.
Grass field exits the stadium.
Yeah.
And then you do whatever you want.
Right.
That's what all these stadiums need to have. Dome or open roof. Have that field that slides right out. You get the best groundskeepers you can find to take care of that grass, and it's cushioned and it's better than this unforgiving green plastic crap, which is better than it used to be, but it's still. When I trust the guys who are playing, I don't think they're just trying to agitate for the sake of agitating. When you hear constantly that players prefer grass to turf, the only guys who would say, I like turf better are the ones who rely on one thing, speed.
Yeah.
And even then,
I don't even think they
this
would.
This isn't as fast
you
as
you were
the
on
old
the field in
cement.
Kansas City. That field was fast as hell.
It was incredible.
Right?
And it felt great.
And it was a golf course.
And it felt
so,
great. And it looked great.
Right.
I felt bad walking even on the sidelines.
Right.
It's like, this is pristine.
So
they have the technology, they have the money. The question is, are you going to spend it? And what pisses guys like David Bakhtiari off is they are going to spend it to host a World Cup game.
Well, that, you
because
know
that's
me.
What FIFA requires.
Hey, that's right. That's right. Listen, I've been yelling about this for years, even before I started working with you. This has been a complaint when my career was going on. Guys, when we would get told, hey, we got to go indoors today because it's lightning out. We got to go practice on the field turf or, you know, and the artificial surface, right? And everybody, especially linemen and everybody, that you felt it the next day after a practice or after a game. There was a difference feeling. You felt it in your legs. You did. The reshock reverberation of all those rubber pellets goes right back into your legs. So you felt that. It's not as safe, right? Hey, listen, I'm not going to sit here and conclusively say if they played on grass, that wouldn't have happened last night. But what I would say is the grass would have given a chance for his foot to slip or the cleat to move in the front there and not be so stuck in, you know, the artificial surface that it might have moved and then therefore his Achilles doesn't tear.
Where are the forces
where
going? Where
right.
are the forces going? On grass, the forces go into the ground.
And they,
on turf, the
right.
forces go back up into your body.
Exactly. And on grass, they can move because the grass might tear out of the ground or something of that nature, right? What I'm saying there? So it's way more forgiving. And then, yes, on top of that, you know, it just, I'm frustrated by it. It is, you know, we Jerry Jones, what he's done.
Stan Kroenke and Jerry Jones are the ones that,
it's America, America, America. And then you're going to make the field better for a bunch of Europeans and other people? That doesn't make sense. Wait, the Americans are here and they're telling you they don't want to play on the surface, but you don't want to change it for them. It makes no sense. And then I don't want to hear it from 345 Park Avenue, like player safety. It kind of goes in one ear and out the other with me, because the easiest thing to fix with player safety is that right there, but it costs money. So it's all talk and no walk sometimes, and that's what I don't like. And David Bakhtiari, he said it exactly right with his little
tweet. He had a couple of tweets. He had one referring to the soccer players. You care more about soccer players than us. You plan to remove artificial turf for the World Cup coming up, so clearly it's feasible. I'm sick of this. Do better. And when I complained about this a few months ago, the league said to me, well, it's a hybrid. It's not all grass. Who cares? It's still different.
It's still fake.
And it fits the requirements of FIFA, which is very, very zealous about making sure the grass is right.
And the players, it's in their contracts, a lot of them.
The NFL just you got to make it a priority, NFL. And that's the thing. To the extent the NFL's TV schedule has been scrapped by this and there's going to be games maybe flexed later in the year, we got a Week 10 Jets-Raiders game on NBC, and that's right before the official, like the week 11 is when the full-blown flex happens, but because of the Peyton Manning injury in 2011, there's an early break glass in event of emergency flex that starts week 5, not week 4, but week 5. They're going to pay for it. The ratings for some of these big-time Jets game, Thursday night game, Black Friday game, if Zach Wilson doesn't step up, the NFL is going to take the hit indirectly to the pocketbook, all because of this. But the thing is, at the end of the day, they'll find a way. And this is what happens. And I know people with teams that get upset about this. The NFL just kind of word salads its way around these issues.
Yeah.
You know, you get somebody who's an expert in spin, and they say whatever needs to be said to get through that topic and move to the next one.
Well, they had a good year statistically with injuries in 2021 on the artificial surface,
right? But not 22.
Right? No. But that year we heard a lot of comments from the NFL about, look at the numbers, look at the numbers. And now has anybody noticed that there's not a peep out of the NFL about the subject this year? Not a peep. And that includes our meeting with the NFL, too, and the networks. Hey, not a peep.
It's off the record.
All right.
Just
well,
in case.
Well,
be careful.
Well, I'm just saying. It was not a peep. I'm allowed to say that.
I know.
The meeting before that, there was a year. That year, they talked about it, you know.
Grass. Oh,
it wasn't that bad.
Injury.
The year after, it was not discussed. So I have a problem with that. I'm an ex-player. I don't care.
The whole thing, as it was unfolding in the offseason, I was hearing from people because – one of the arguments in response to this urgency to change the kickoff and minimize kick returns, one of the coaches in the NFL got in touch with me and said, why don't they do a study of injuries that happen on kick plays on grass versus injuries that happen kick returns with turf? Why don't they do that? Why won't they do that?
Because even the head hitting the turf, that's way worse.
That's one of the two main injuries.
The Tua injury you saw.
The two main injuries. And there was a great segment on Real Sports with Brian Gumbel earlier this year. And that show's going off the air after all these years. And I hope something fills the void, because it's great investigative journalism about things that can affect positive change. Andrea Kramer did a segment about the proliferation of field turf for youth sports, because people see the NFL using it, and they say, hey, this is great. You know, NFL uses it. We should use it, too. Let's go get field turf.
Right.
And you get heads hitting the ground, concussions, and you get feet getting stuck, torn ACLs. Or maybe in this case, foot gets stuck, foot jams in, pops the Achilles. We don't know. That's the thing. There's no way to determine it with certainty, and that's how the NFL finds a way to kind of talk around it until it can avoid it, and just kick the can and keep making money and keep having the Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, Bruce Springsteen fill up the stadiums, make a lot of money, and we'll just deal with it on the other end. And, hey, if somebody gets injured, next man up, next man up, next man up. And that's the way the NFL does it. Jets fans, thinking back to 1999 last night.
Oh, my gosh.
Vinny Testaverde, week one, after they went to the AFC Championship, were up 10-0, I believe, over the Broncos at halftime.
Right.
This was the year, 99. I mean, really, other than Brett Favre 2008, 1999 was the last time we felt like the Jets are in a position to do something. They lost that first game 30-28. Keyshawn Johnson slamming his hands on the – and that's the old nasty non-field turf. But there he is. Clearly he knew that it was done. He was 35 at that point. turned 36 in November, played every game the next year and the year after. Now, not 39 going on 40, but that was 24 years ago. So to get back to what we were talking about earlier, can Aaron Rodgers come back and play next year?
Yeah, probably. Can it be the same?
I think the question is, do you, when you already were teetering on the brink of retiring,
right?
So he says, when he went into the dark room, he was thinking about retiring.
Right.
And I think there was a certain amount of Green Bay spite that got him to play. Do you put yourself through all of that again when you know all that stuff you do ahead of time may be for naught? Because my most recent memory is I did all that stuff, I had all that emotion, I had all that effort, I had all that buildup, and it just gone. Do I want to run the risk it's going to happen again?
Yeah, that's going to be one where, you know, he might have to retreat in the darkness and figure that out again, just to, because it's going to be a long journey. It is. And then, yeah, he's a guy that, you know, as we saw, even at 40, he moves pretty good for a 40-year-old. I mean, he still can hop around and avoid a little trouble there. That's going to be gone. He certainly won't be the same in that department right away. And, yeah, I mean, as much as he takes care of himself and his body being in a better spot, you know, he's in good shape and all of that, and science being the way it is and better now, like you said, than it was when Testaverde got hurt. Still, this is like the worst injury you can have as a 40-year-old. It's up there with the worst. And I think the big thing that I think, like, what will he have to come to terms with is, does he want the lasting image of him being last night, right? That'll be something that I think is really going to be the demon that eats at you. Do I want to go out there? Do I just go like, wait, I don't want to go out on that note? Or are you going to be able to be content to go, hey, my career was great. That's horrible I went out on that note. But, you know, the football gods are telling me a sign here. It's 40. My Achilles went bye-bye. And maybe I need to say goodbye. And then that's the things he's going to have to toy with in his own brain.
At a time when many have changed their opinion on Aaron Rodgers,
right?
That kind of exit makes him a sympathetic figure.
Ugh.
And makes him, to the extent he cares about how he's remembered, he kind of has that one of the greatest of all time who went to a new team, and there was a great amount of hope and hype and expectation. He had transformed the way that many hardcore critics of him, including me, had felt about him. And that's how he exits. No one would blame him. And I think it's an option. He's got to figure it out.
Yeah.
And we know how he processes these things, even when one of the factors isn't working his way back from a serious injury. He's had injuries in the past. He's had broken collarbones. He's had surgeries. He's had calf issues. So he knows the drill. But at age 40, does he want to do it for one more shot, one more chance, one more run, and see what happens? That's something for him to figure out. When we return, we're going to take a closer look at what happened in the game, because somehow, the Jets won. We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.